Hey modders, welcome back to Modified Rule. We're sponsored by DM Dice. Use the code Modified Rule or follow the link in the description to get 10% off all your adventuring needs. We're also sponsored by Arcanist Rum. Check them out and use code Modified Rule to get 15% off all purchases and free shipping. In the last episode, our party finally completed the task they had been sent out on, to deliver the message to the king. They perhaps got a little bit more than they bargained for and are now working directly for the crown. But they've got a little bit of time before their first official mission. So we rejoin them now while they have a little bit of downtime in the city of Belgravia. In this, episode 41 of season 2 of Modified Rule, An Old Flame. It is a couple of days after you guys have met and spoke with the king. You've obviously been told that you're awaiting information. And in the meantime, you are allowed to settle in to your new digs and get accustomed to the city once again. Obviously, for some of you, that's a little easier than others. Ileana, you are already relatively familiar with the city, as we found out previously. So in the few days now that you have to sort of wind down and get yourself ready for the next trials, what would you be doing in your downtime?
Well, we have just moved into a brand new house, so I feel like I would want to do some shopping to try and find some things for my room, but I feel like she would want to do that with Twilight, and Twilight kind of looks busy already. I think she's got the plans. So I feel like, what else can you do when you've got downtime? Let's go to a tavern, obviously.
I think that should be the subtitle for Modified Rule. Modified Rule. Let's go to the tavern.
Perfect.
So would you head to somewhere new, or would you head back to the Inner Demon?
That's a good question. I'm checking my notes on what the other ones were. What time of day is it? Sorry, Jordan.
That's entirely up to you. What time would you want to head to the tavern? Would you be heading there for like opening time, or are you heading out just in like late afternoon, early evening?
Who do you think I am, turning up at the tavern at opening times, like on the door, like, let me in, let me in?
I mean, to be fair, if you're heading back to like the Inner Demon, I imagine that that probably wouldn't be the first time you've arrived at opening time.
I leave when it opens the next day.
But yeah, as a reminder, you've got the Pleasant Duck with the constantly rewritten sign. You've got the Frowning Owl, which I believe is the Frowning Owl, the one which is very well known to be a sort of organized crime front, much to the chagrin of the owner. And you've got the Bloody Dragon, which is like sort of adventurer's digs. And obviously, as you already know, the Inner Demon. These are all the ones in the high streets as well. Obviously, there are other ones in the low streets.
Yeah, I want to go to the Bloody Dragon, I think. That sounds fun.
Cool. You head off. You've probably seen it before. Whether you've been in or not, that's entirely up to you. But when you get close, you see the dragon, or the dragon, Christ. When you get close, you see the sign hanging, like swinging gently in the breeze above the door. And from a distance, it looks just like a woodcut of a lounging red dragon. But once you get closer, you can see that there are hints of white here and there, indicating that the dragon isn't red. It's just been flayed and is covered in blood. But when you step inside, you find if you're heading there sort of late afternoon, early evening, the Bloody Dragon is always a rowdy tavern. Like it is a place where adventurers go to drink. It is, you know, quaffing ale, which I always go by the Terry Pratchett definition of quaffing, which means that to quaff, the majority of the ale has to miss your mouth. Constantly full adventurers in heavy armor, carrying overly, like, comically large weapons. There are multiple trophies on the wall with the heads of various creatures, owl bears, smaller, younger dragons, the like. But you know, like, even if you've not been in here before, you know the tavern's well known. While it might be rowdy, it never gets too rowdy. And that's thanks to the owner, Verin Roth, a Goliath ex-adventurer who maybe you have been in before, because he is a very large, muscular man who often wears very little clothing, mostly like basic furs and leathers. He prefers to tend the bar himself, so that if things do get too rowdy, he can pull out his large club that he used to go adventuring with and quieten things down a bit. But as you go in, it is loud. There's a lot going on already. Are you going in for food or just a drink?
Nah, he needs food. Just a drink.
Food is for weaklings.
Exactly.
Food is for quitters. You head to the bar. Varin there, a large man and a somber man of very few words. He just nods to you.
Hello, good sir.
He just nods again.
Oh. I was hoping that he would be a bit more like Sinclair. The way I just forgot Sinclair's name completely there, that's terrible, isn't it?
Pete.
Yeah. No. I'm sure Pete will hear it when he listens to the episode, like he listens to all of them. Your finest mead, please.
He reaches down and you actually see... give me a history check to see if you would know this, actually.
Ooh. 10?
You've probably heard rumours that the mead here is very good, but that's about it. But you do see he reaches down behind the bar and pulls up a bottle. It's obviously got like a handwritten label and stuff on it, and he sets it down in front of you and it just says Adventurer's Best.
Ooh, artisan.
Hand brewed. Yeah, you set that up, you pay, and as you look, I imagine, are you sort of leaning against the bar counter, or would you head to get a table?
I'll lean against the bar, that sounds cool.
They're very suave and sophisticated. Cool. While you're there enjoying your drink, can I get a perception check, please?
13.
13. See how loud they're being. Quite loud, apparently. While you are stood there enjoying your drink, you are just sort of like taking a moment, relaxing. This isn't like when you've been out with the rest of the group and it's been like, you're going hard at it. You're having a party. This is, you're just taking a moment to yourself, away from the group. And as you stand there, relaxing, basking in the warmth of the tavern, you hear a voice that you instantly recognize.
Oh, great. Brilliant. Oh, great. who is it?
You don't even have to turn around. It's Sarul.
Oh, shit. Oh, I don't know why. I didn't even think that this would happen. I don't know why. In my head, I was like, this is going to happen. For God's sake.
I great. Knew you wouldn't be expecting it, and I was waiting for that reaction.
So annoying.
So, you hear Cyril's voice. Do you turn around, or what's your plan here?
Oh, I don't know. Oh.
I'd like to imagine Giuliano, who was just like quietly supping on a drink, is now just like frozen at the bar, refusing to move.
The worst thing is I'm on my own as well, so this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
She'll try and sneak away.
You're trying to leave?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a stealth check, please.
Oh, I'm very good at this. This is the problem.
I would say that, being honest with me, how rattled are you hearing his voice?
Yeah, pretty bad.
Disadvantage, then.
It's still pretty good. 17.
What is my... I should probably have the stats open because I rolled a 16, but I'm pretty sure I have a +3 in perception for 19. You're quiet, but you're not quiet enough. Unfortunately, as you turn, you don't try to seek him out because you know if you try to spot him, it gives him a better chance of spotting you. You're not like ducking down and like scurrying across the floor, but you're just trying to be natural. Unfortunately, there's just one of those serendipitous moments where the crowd just moves and you're left face to face about 5 feet away from Cyril, sat at a table facing into the room, who stops mid-sentence and also just freezes looking at you.
Oh my gosh! What?
Juliana?
Yeah.
I was like, no, right.
yeah. Hi.
Yeah, he jumps up from the table, like, nearly knocking his chair over. He is like, he's like same as you. Like, he's now just like on it, like running on adrenaline. He just like jumps up. He's like, I didn't realize you were in Belgravia.
Oh. Oh, I'm trying to think like what the last, what my my letter said. That's a
funny,
lie.
Funny enough, I looked this up. You did tell him that you were heading to, that you told him where you were moving into. Give me an insight check.
That is so funny. Insight. Natural 20.
He's not lying. Theracede is much further away from Belgravia than Cairn was. You know for a fact, if you've got to Cairn, or from Cairn to here in the time that your letter was sent, he must have left Theracede before you would have sent the letter.
Okay. Oh.
So yeah, he isn't bullshitting you.
That would have been...
Like, I didn't think you'd be here.
Has planned it to a T.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, you didn't get my letter?
No, I've been away from Theracede for... And he looks to the three companions at his table and it says... A month and a half, 2 months? About 2 months now.
Oh, and what are the odds that you would turn up here same time as me?
I mean, yeah, and you see he just sort of greases his, yeah, what are the odds? And you see he's just looking at you at the minute, and then, please, you here alone? You see him like looking around, you see if you've got any people with you.
Yeah, me and the, well, I... So yeah, physically yes, but I guess me and the guy that runs this place, Verin, we're like really good friends.
He looks over to Vart, and Verin is just sort of like stood there, arms crossed, just watching this exchange, saying nothing.
She'll like turn around and be like, and like wave.
he just once again just nods, says nothing. Well, if you're here alone, would you like to join us? And he gestures to the table that this group is sat at.
Yeah. I actually also have, like, three friends. This is getting really weird.
You're not dealing with friends.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Are they in the city as well?
Yes, they are.
Oh, you must introduce me then while we're here. But, speaking of, I don't know how long we're going to be here for, but please join us now. And he sort of gestures to an NPC, pulls it out for you. And you sit down at a table with Zerul, who you obviously already know very well, and three other people. Ben, what does your character look like? And what is their name?
My character is a very tall elf by the name of Joachim. What did I give his surname? It's Joachim Labaland. He will instantly lean forward and be like, Zerul, you did not tell me you had such dashing looking friends. What a pleasure to meet you, young lady.
Oh, I really like your friends, Zerul. They're really polite. It's lovely to meet you as well. I'm Giliana.
I can see that you're a lady a good upbringing. What a high class woman you must be. A noble bloodline, is it?
How did you know?
I too come from nobility. So yes, I guess we recognise our own kind. So wonderful to meet you, Sir Rule. Where have you been hiding this one?
He is like, you don't even have to roll for this. He is like fully blushing. Like, he is like fully, like, from the neck up, is just going redder and redder and redder. It's like, unfortunately, I haven't seen Giliana in, what would it be now, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, give or take.
It would, yeah, somewhere around months. There, I think. That was me doing some very quick math.
I don't think so.
Story wise, yeah.
Has there not been more?
Well, it depends, because I think wasn't Knight's Valor your first sort of foray into adventuring, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have taken you about 2 to 3 months to get there from Theraseed. It's only been a couple of like weeks in game time until you finished a bit in Cairn, and then another month to travel back to Belgravia. So yeah, about 4 or 5 months ish. I've not seen Giliana in about 4 or 5 months, and honestly, I was beginning to worry. But anyway, sorry. My other comrades, and he points to Chloe. Can you tell us about your character? Oh, I should say as well, Ben, Joachim, what is your class and race?
He is a Oath of Conquest paladin.
And I believe you are also an elf?
Yes, high elf.
Lovely. Then he points to Chloe. Can you tell us about your character, please?
Yeah, you see a sort of a dark red-skinned tiefling with, like, similar coloured horns that, like, taper out to like black at the edges and like burnt orange eyes, and she wears quite well tailored but nondescript robes with a wand poking out from one of the inside pockets, and sort of just looks at you with a slightly haughty like look in her face and goes, "I'm Mercy Singon, at your service."
Hello, it's lovely to meet you.
Likewise. And sort of looks you up and down a little bit and goes, one of the sneaky type, I see.
Yes, that is correct. I've actually never had anybody describe it that way, and I like it, so I'm definitely going to be keeping that one for future reference.
Yeah. Always useful in a pinch. yeah. And oh yes, Mercy is a divination wizard.
Divination wizard, good to know. And finally, Maddie, can you tell us about your character, please?
Yes, so seated in the last seat of this table is a very tall, quite curvy woman with an unhealthily pale skin tone, huge red tresses and cat-like green eyes, and she's wearing this incredibly tailored black and red ensemble, and she just looks at Giliana and is like, "Oh, darling, where did you get that outfit from? I must find out who your tailor is."
Oh my gosh, I am so glad you asked. I actually got it from someone on my travels. I actually don't remember where I got it from, though, but I'll think about it and I'll write you a letter. If I pass it again, I will write you a letter and I'll let you know.
Fabulous, darling. Thank you. My name is Eleanor Throckmorton, by the way. It's lovely to meet you.
The pleasure is all mine.
You know, Eleanor... Oh, I'm taking on your accent there. You know, Eleanor, if you paid more attention to studies instead of fashion, then perhaps you would get a little further in adventuring.
Well, excuse me, I'll have you know that I have studied very carefully in archaeological pursuits. I'm allowed to have a few side hustles as well.
Mm. Perhaps you would be further along in your archaeological pursuits.
I suppose. And yes, Eleanor is a College of Swords bard.
But no matter.
Yeah, Eleanor coming in hot. Hey guys, we're just taking a very quick break here because, as you just heard, we have some fantastic guests on this episode. So we're just going to introduce them here. Starting with Ben. Ben, tell us about yourself and your show.
Hello. Hi, I'm Ben. I run the Cybertopia podcast, and we're between seasons at the moment. So I've been interviewing all the cast about their characters and stuff. So we did our first season using my own system, Cybertopia, and that went swimmingly. And we're gearing up to season two at the moment, but that's a wee ways off yet. So in between seasons, and in the meantime, I regularly play and DM on the His Cursedness Twitch channel. So you can catch me there semi-regularly.
Excellent. Chloe.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm from the podcast Deck of Many Aces, which is the only actual play podcast made with actual asexuals and aromantics. We are at the minute about to have a Monster of the Week short series that I will be GMing, which was very, very fun. It's already recorded and everything, so I can't say anything because it would be spoilers. but it's real fun. I write all of the original music for that as well, so you can find all of that on Spotify, Apple Music, and all of that. You can also find me on A Rendezvous with Destiny, which is a Bite Marks actual play podcast. So we're all playing Scottish werewolves in that, which is very fun as well. Actually, that one's a lot less fun. There's a lot more peril and people potentially dying and things in that. No one's died yet, but it keeps feeling like they might. But we're halfway through a Mean Girls one shot with that one, just to, in between seasons, that Anne ran. It was very, very fun. She seemed surprised when we were mean to each other, considering it's Mean Girls. And I played the legally distinct but eerily similar Tuesday Stevens. it was just a lot of fun to play with special guest Hamilton as well. And last but not least, speaking of Hamilton, you can find me also on Bowies and Spelljammer, which is on YouTube, on the Roleplay Factory every Saturday at 8 p.m, which Hamilton is running, where we all play different versions of David Bowie, but in space. And I played Jareth the Goblin King, which allowed me to create as much chaos as I liked, which is quite a lot when it comes to me. so yeah, that's me.
Bodes well for this game. And last but not least, Maddie.
Hello, yes, I'm Maddie. My pronouns are they, them. You can find me all over social media at Maddie is Abstract. And there's a link in my bio to all the various things that I do, including being a core cast member of Realms of Peril and Glory, the actual play show with full sound design and original music by the wonderful James Barbarossa. And you can also find me over on my own podcast, A Game of One's Own, which focuses on solo and two-player RPGs, currently on hiatus, but hopefully will be back in the next few months and already has a few episodes already out for you to enjoy. And you can often find me on streams on Actual Play UK, Girls on These Worlds, Horde of Tales, things like that. So if you follow me on socials, you'll find out whenever I'm streaming.
Fantastic. Just thank you guys so much as well for being here for our little guest episode. This will be the first of several episodes. Generally, obviously, the way we record these, one session ends up with multiple episodes. So we'll have you guys around for at least a few of these. And I'm very excited to see what happens, especially with the promise of so much chaos.
So, Giliana? Sorry, terrible names. You and Cyril,
yes, it took him 5 months to remember mine.
Childhood friends? Sweethearts, maybe?
Cyril very obviously does not make eye contact with you, Giliana. He is looking literally anywhere else. He also does not want to answer this question.
Cyril, why don't you answer that question?
There's a deep inhale as he just looks up to the ceiling and then a sigh. Yes, Joachim, we grew up together. I like to think we were quite close friends growing up in Theraseed. I was very close with one of her elder brothers. And he just lets that hang in the air for a second. But please, what are you doing here in Belgravia then?
Well, I'm actually pretty big deal in Belgravia, actually.
You know, that doesn't surprise me.
You see, Eleanor, what happens when you pay attention to your scholarly pursuits?
I don't know where it's come from. It just happened.
I love it.
It was actually my good fashion sense that got me this job, so.
I just looked down in shame.
It knew. You're working in the city then?
Yes, working, saving. They all go into the same pot. But yeah, it's very important work.
Yeah, it's like eyebrows go up when you say, like, you're saving the city. It's like, oh, it sounds like you've been up to a lot then since you left.
Yeah, we've been busy, me and my group. What? Anyway, enough about me. What are you guys doing here? Like, what brings you over here?
You can see he like shoots a look to the rest of the party, almost like asking you three for permission.
I just like wave my hand dismissively, like, go on.
Don't be shy, Saru.
Eleanor just sort of shrugs and is like, it's nothing to me.
Yeah, he does like lean in a little bit and is like, well, maybe some precautions. And he leans in and he speaks very quietly. Since you've been gone, I have been focusing likewise on my own endeavors, and I have been throwing myself into my work. Unfortunately, right now, part of that work is investigating and rooting out, and you see he like looks about to make sure there's nobody nearby, sort of listening in, rooting out cult activity. We were given information that there may be an active demon cult in and around the city, and we've spent the last week trying to turn up some leads. As luck would have it, we believe that a warehouse down by the river dock, tied to one of the minor nobility, is being used as part of the cult's activities. We were going to head there tonight to investigate. And again, he just sort of lets that hang in the air.
As he says that, Joachim will sit up very straight, almost like a meerkat, and kind of dart his head around to see if anyone's listening in. So anyone hear demons?
First of all, just put a hand on his shoulder and like down. Sit him back down in the seat, just like, look where I'm sitting.
Interesting. So what's like, what makes you think that there's demon cult behavior around here? Sorry, that was whispered.
Yeah, it's like, demons!
Everyone's like,
He sort of leans back. You see him like look up at the ceiling as if he's not like he's being rude, but like you see he's trying to recount information in his head to get everything in order. And he says, the report we were sent was that there were an increase in illegal transportation of certain goods, certain materials, both arcane and demonic in nature. They were linked to a location within the city. And since we've arrived, we have found there has been a higher than average reporting of missing people. We believe that is tied to the cult activity, unfortunately.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, I don't really have a lot to do today, so if you need an extra pair of hands to help out, I'm happy to lend a hand.
I would say, because you got a natural 20 on your insight check earlier, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let that carry through to now. You can see he's like, again, he's not looking directly at you. He was like trying very visibly to not look directly at you. You can see he's afraid of what emotion he might give away. But you do see there is like a flicker of appreciation that he didn't have to ask. That you can tell he wanted to ask you to do that, but also was like too embarrassed to. He didn't want to be like, will you come and tag along? So he's like genuinely pleased that you've offered to do that, but he doesn't want to show it. And you see him like pretending to think about it for a second. And he says, yes, actually, we were supposed to have an additional member traveling with us. Unfortunately, they took ill right before we had to set off. So the additional hands would be very much appreciated.
I did warn them of that particular mushroom, but...
We did warn him, but he unfortunately did not listen. But obviously I can't ask you to do this, but if you're willing to, it is, as you know, these things exceptionally dangerous, and I would... And there's a very, very real moment of seriousness. It's like, I would not forgive myself if you were injured, but I would be lying if I said we didn't need the help.
Well, lucky for you, I'm very good at this, and if I die, then... I'm sure you can explain to my brothers what happened to me, and that will be very pleasant for you. So.
What is it you actually do, Giuliana? You are a demon fighter yourself, or?
You could say I'm a demon fighter. I'll fight anything, to be honest. Me and my group, we've fought a lot. We actually killed a lich. So.
And you guys would know that genuinely... without any further information regarding that, that is exceptionally impressive for what appears to be an adventurer of the same caliber of you guys.
I should hold her hands up like this.
Wow, my goodness. We have a celebrity among us.
When you see that, Cyril's eyes like genuinely go wide and like just turns to you and like mouths, a lich?
Yeah, and she'll be like, yeah, an actual lich. Horrendous.
Don't be damned.
Cyril, I like this one. Why have you not brought her up before?
Yeah, I'm actually offended. Why have I not been brought up before? Cyril?
Give me a persuasion check. I want to see if you can how honest he's going to be, but we'll see.
I am very good at this, so that was a mistake.
Yeah, we'll see how well you prickle him.
25.
Christ. Yeah, you say that. Like you say, like, I'm offended you've not brought me up. Why haven't you brought me up? And there, once again, with that natural 20, like, even if he was trying to hide his emotions, you can read him. Like, you know him so well, but there's once again a very real moment of sincerity and a light sigh, and this time he does look you directly in the eyes and he says, because it was painful.
Yeah, anyway, when are we gonna go?
Mercy just like looks at you so thankful for changing the conversation and is like,
right, well, we were going to call this evening, but a little preparation will never hurt.
I can't promise you any liches, but I'll be glad to have you along. Amazing. I've never met anyone that's even met a lich before. He'll hold up a high five. Like,
she'll return the high five.
If you have any juicy details, please do send them my way. I'd love to compose a little ditty about the whole thing. I think it could get quite popular in the taverns around the city.
Oh my...
Oh, Eleanor's ditties are a delight. You will love it.
I will
absolutely... That is a love-hate relationship.
Oh, yes.
This is what it's like with Twilight and Giliana, because... And John's like, do you actually hate each other or are you friends? And it's more fun that way.
The answer is to both is yes.
Yeah, I'll absolutely send my... I think my friend Twilight does have notes on this. She's a prolific writer, so I will get her to give me her notes and pass them along.
Excellent. Well, I'll put a little marketing out there for you, just as a... Because I like your face. I think we could get along very well.
Thank you so much. That means so much.
Just making a note of that so that at some point in the future, Eleanor's song might appear. But yeah, in the meantime, you guys press Giliana for details about this epic adventure. And you while away a little bit of time in the tavern. Because obviously, you guys as a party would have already had all of your equipment and stuff, but obviously Giliana, if you felt the need to, you have a bit of time before Cyril and the group plan to head out. You could go and pick up any additional equipment you think you might need.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What do you have any like health potions and stuff on? Actually, a good question is, do you have any gold written on your character sheet?
Do I have any what?
Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, do you have any health potions? Would you want to stock up on health potions before you left?
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I was like, oh, I have a health potion. It's a potion of poison. So that probably wouldn't do anybody any favours.
Don't drink that one.
Yeah, let's go and get some health potions. That would be really helpful.
Cool. If you're just looking to get like regular ones, they're like 50 gold each. Would you be wanting any of the like the more robust ones?
How dangerous can this be? I'm sure they will be fine. Two, just in case.
A demon call.
100 gold, you get 2 health potions, and for everyone else's benefit, all of you will be carrying 1 health potion each. Just standard.
Cool.
It's more of like an emergency. If you go down, somebody else feeds it to you and you get up. Cool. You guys, Danny, you nip out at one point, run down to the local alchemists, grab a couple of health potions and return just in time for the party to gather all their equipment and begin getting ready to head out. As you've been told,
I'm going to cast Mage Armor before. No, I didn't take that one. I thought I had. Never mind.
As you've already been told by Cerule, you're heading down to the river docks, which are just like outside the city proper, still within like one of the defensive walls, but it is outside the like actual like shopping, like housing district and all that. So you're out beyond the city proper, and you head to an area that is mostly full of like warehouses and storage yards and things like that. And Cerule sort of leads the way, and you get to within sort of 50, like a street away, and he points out a large warehouse directly ahead of you guys. You can see there are some pretty high windows, relatively small, and a single large, like, wagon-wide door for, like, carting goods in and out. But you guys, I would imagine as part of, like, the conversation stuff, before you guys head out, Cyril probably asked you, Danny, Giuliana, a few questions about, like, your experience in the city. Would you have told him that you've like spent a bit of time here previously?
Yeah. Why not?
Sure. He would actually probably have like let you largely lead the way. He would have told you like what direction you were heading, but he would have relied on your like knowledge of the streets. He would have told you that this was his first time in Belgravia, so he would have relied on you to get you where you're going. So I imagine you're like up the front, but you guys see this warehouse in front of you. There are lights shining through these windows, but otherwise this appears to be like any other warehouse. You do see there is an insignia above the door, which is like a house crest, and Cyrille points it out. That is the crest of the minor noble house, the Marshwoods. We believe they're tied with this cult and are using the warehouse for transporting and storing illegal substances, arcane and... we believe just some general drug trafficking, which of course not good, but not really our concern.
Can I cast Detect Magic just to have it up for the next 10 minutes?
Cool.
See if there's anything around us near the door.
Around the door, no. There is no sort of magic within. I'll say that you guys, if you want to, can like do like a scout around the building. There is one door, several windows, which are all like 40, 50 feet up. They're like right at the top. They're not for looking through, they're for letting light in. But there's no magic anywhere around the extremity of the building.
Well, if this door is locked, it is not by magic at least. Perhaps there is a side or a back entrance, something a little less obvious.
And like I say, if you guys make a whole route of the building, there is just one big door. Like this is very much like a warehouse. It is like a big shed. Yeah.
Sorry, is there a lock on it?
Not visible from the outside, no. And there are lights on, which would imply there's probably somebody inside.
So there's no lock. Just can I push it?
I mean, yeah, if you want to walk up and try the door, it's like it's like a big, heavy door. So it does have like a latch handle, so you can tell it's like it can keep itself closed. But there's no visible like padlock or anything on it.
Should I? What do we think, guys?
Let's try and be as sneaky as possible, stares at the paladin who's probably wearing heavy armor. and just for the time being, at least, I guess.
I'm pretty good at bluffing if we find ourselves in trouble.
I like it. Let's go. I'll do it stealthily, though. I'll sneak up and I'll try the door.
Cool. Where would everyone want to be? I would imagine if Giuliana is going to go straight up the door, Cyril is going to stand just off to the side. Like, so if the door opens, he's not visible, but he is within like reach distance of Giuliana.
I would like to stand a little behind Cyril, but like a little further away from the door, just so I've got like line of sight in the door.
I think I'll go the other side of Giuliana, just a little bit away, so I can jump in if things get hairy.
Cool. So, Giuliana, are you just going to try the door, or what's your plan? Are you going to knock on the door?
should we? Oh God. How she'll whisper. How unfriendly do we think this cult is? Like, is it a knock or is it like a kick through the door? All crossbows blazing.
Crossbows blazing. Cyril sort of shrugs. I mean, demon cult. I would say so long as we get inside and can have a look around, whatever is going to draw the least attention from any watchman who might be coming nearby.
Let's try and be friendly, at least at first.
Yeah, you knock on the door.
Why not?
Give me a perception check.
9?
you hear some noises inside, like scraping noises. I will say, why not? Eleanor and Cyril, because you guys are by the door as well. You guys, both of you guys can make a check. I'm rolling 2d20, just the 1. 2. Ooh, 18. Cool.
That is 16 for me.
Cool. So both Eleanor and Cyril would hear like the scraping of, well, would hear, it's very weird playing a DMPC, I don't like it. I'm rolling against myself.
I think you're the first DM I've ever heard to say that.
I don't like playing DMPCs. I think they're, because the whole time I'm like, how much is too much to do when I'm also running the game? Both of those characters, your characters, these guys, the people, would hear. Do you know when there's like a noise just on the edge of hearing and you don't know it's there until it stops? There's that sensation. There was something going on, then it stops for like a second. Then there's the sound of a chair scraping and footsteps as somebody moves towards the door. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks very much for sticking with us. As usual, I would just like to thank Lixie B for our wonderful logo and Jeff for all of the fantastic art for our characters in Season 2. Don't forget, you can check out more of Jeff's work on our online store where you can find his artwork used on our stickers and t-shirts. Also, a massive shout out to the Stormweather Shanty Choir for allowing us to use their song Drunken Sailor as our intro and outro music. Also, a massive thank you to our wonderful sponsors, DM Dice and Arcanist Rum. Find links to both of their websites in our description. And finally, a massive shout out and thank you to all of our Patreon supporters who continue to support us in everything we do. Your support means the world to us, and we hope that we can go on making fantastic content thanks to you. Sort of cheating this week in that our recommended podcasts are the 3 shows from our guests today. So please do go and check them out. We'll have all of the links in the description, but they were Cybertopia, Realms of Peril and Glory, and Deck of Many Aces. I've had such a great time getting to know and play more games with all the amazing people in the UK actual play community through AP UK, and it is an absolute joy to be able to host a few of them as guests on our podcast. So I hope you enjoyed listening to them as much as I've enjoyed running for them. We obviously have a few more episodes coming with these same guests, and you might be in for a bit of a surprise in a few of the upcoming episodes as well. Just a little bit of sort of self-promotion as well, but for those of you who have been listening for a while, will know that I am also a professional GM, as well as running the games for this podcast, among others. And just this past weekend, I got to run a game at my first Roll Dark Fest. Roll Dark is the company that I do the professional GMing through. They have had several of these all-day D&D events in the past. This was my first one, and it was a lot of fun. And since coming back, Rob, who runs Roll Dark, has already sort of set a date and a location for the next one. So if you'd be interested in an all-day D&D event and you are based in England, probably towards the south as it is going to be in Salisbury, we have already got the date set for Roll Dark Fest 4. That is going to be on the 12th of October, I believe. It was a lot of fun and I'm already really excited about the next one. So, you know, if you're around and that's something that would interest you, do have a check on the Roll Dark website and check out the live events. Tickets should be going up soon, I hope, if they're not already up now. And finally, you may have seen it on our social media posts, but the Crit Awards are open now, and we'd be really, really appreciative if any of our listeners would see it in their enormous hearts to nominate us for any of the various awards that they have on offer. I've already heard from a couple of you guys, some of our listeners, who have said they've already nominated us, and I genuinely cannot thank you guys enough that you took the time out to go and do that. I know it's only a few minutes, but it means a lot to all of us. All the guys in the group were really excited when I told them. I have no idea how the Crit Awards work. I don't know if you have to have like a minimum number of nominations, but the fact that some of you have already gone out of your way is enough for us. We really, really appreciate that. But other than that, that's it for this week, folks. Thanks very much for sticking with us, and we'll see you soon.